Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live on the Green Space stage today as part of the 24-hour 10th anniversary Green Space Marathon, which started at 7 o'clock this morning and will go continuously through 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And when we're on the Green Space stage doing the show, you can watch the Brian Lehrer Show as well as listen, because we stream live video. You can go to the WNYC website. I'm waving hello now to the people who are already watching, WNYC.org, or go to our Facebook page. And one reason you might want to watch at this particular moment is that with me now in the Green Space Marathon, I'm so happy to have the actor, Laurie Metcalf, now starring on Broadway in the play called Hillary and Clinton, and we have the playwright, Lucas Naith. Hillary and Clinton has another few days in previews and will officially open next Thursday at the John Golden Theater. So great of both of you to come in. Welcome to the Green Space and WNYC. Lucas, give our listeners some background on the play. This takes place around the New Hampshire primary in 2008. When and why did you write it?
I actually first wrote the play 10 years ago, and I think I started writing it before the primary cycle was even finished. I was really struck by this moment in the campaign where Hillary's numbers were really, really bad. She had just lost Iowa and had gone into New Hampshire, and that there was this luncheon where somebody asked her a question about balancing family and work and running for the presidency, and a lot of people perceived her to start crying. People thought she had started crying during the speech, and that when she won New Hampshire, her win was attributed to that moment. And I thought there was something really odd and unsettling that people's opinions about you might completely flip if you show a certain emotion in a certain way.
So we pulled that real-life clip from just before the New Hampshire primary in 2008 because it becomes such a central part of the play, as you were just describing. And again, the context is that Clinton is trailing in the polls to Barack Obama, and she's seen as cold and not likable and all those things people have said about her. And then in one public appearance, she tears up as she answers a question. Here's the crucial minute.
You know, I have so many opportunities from this country. I just don't want to see us fall backwards. You know? So, you know, this is very personal for me. It's not just political, it's not just public. I see what's happening, and we have to reverse it. And some people think elections are a game. They think it's like who's up or who's down. It's about our country. It's about our kids' futures. And it's really about all of us together. You know, some of us put ourselves out there and do this against some pretty difficult odds. And we do it, each one of us, because we care about our country. But some of us are right and some of us are wrong. Some of us are ready and some of us are not. Some of us know what we will do on day one, and some of us haven't really thought that through enough.
And I went back and read the news clips from around then, and sure enough, that's how it was reported at the time, that that moment flipped the result of the New Hampshire primary, and she won. Laurie, did you listen to that clip to help prepare you for the role?
Yeah, I had heard that, and I loved hearing the, what I thought was the emotion, you know, in her voice, but also the weariness. You know, the tiredness, and then in the play, I say maybe it was allergies, maybe my eyes watered up because of that, or I was up till 4 a.m. So it's a mystery to her why it was interpreted that way.
Although I did notice that she quickly got back on message and attacked Obama as not ready to be president. It's got to be tough to play Hillary Clinton with everybody possibly ready to judge you from the point of view of their own politics. Why did you want to take on this challenge?
Well, I didn't feel that it was a challenge personally. Anything that comes to me with Lucas's name on it, I'm in. I've already signed up, and I want to work on it. And then on the title page, Lucas asks that whoever does these parts of the Clintons do not do a little literal impersonation. And so that was comforting to me, because if I was asked to do an impersonation, I wouldn't be in the play because I wouldn't be able to do that. But also it was very freeing because it gave us, all the actors, a free pass to interpret these characters on our own. What the audiences bring in, preconceived notions about all four characters on stage, I have no idea. But I'm thinking that when they leave, it could be affected.
Mm-hmm. Could be changed. Some of our listeners, and you just said how you would do anything with Luke's name on it. Some of our listeners know that you two worked together so successfully just recently on the play A Doll's House Part 2. Lucas, you wrote it. Lori, you won a Best Actress Tony Award for the lead character Nora. Congratulations. Why do you like working with each other? Lucas, you want to go first?
The way that I write dialogue and the way that I write monologues, it's really hard to just simply say the language. They're very dense. There's a lot of complicated trains of thought that you're following. And Lori has this magnificent ability to make thinking visible. You can really see her train of thought on her face and in her body as she's performing, you know, in some cases, 5-minute long monologues it's a really rare quality. And then also to do that without sacrificing a certain amount of emotion.
And Lori, the original Nora character in A Doll's House is sort of a seminal feminist role, right? A supportive wife who starts to lean into being seen as more fully human in her own right and pay some prices, or maybe you'd put it differently, but what's the relationship, if any, between you two doing this play right after that play?
Oh, I don't know, because one thing that the strongest thing that pops into my mind besides having two super strong female leads is that they're both marriage plays. Lucas's take, different takes on what it means to be in a marriage, and two people that have been through quite a bit together in both plays. I find that fascinating too.
Lucas, how you're a guy who has written a play that is significantly about gender and presidential politics, and really A Doll's House Part 2 before that too, in the context of a marriage. How do you work to be not inadvertently tone deaf on gender issues?
Very hard. the thing that I'm often channeling, my mother, who's really, really, probably easily the most important person in my life, she, when I was a kid, she went to seminary to become a minister. And when I was a kid, a lot of other kids I knew would tell me, oh, well, you know, your mother's breaking God's rules by going to seminary. Women shouldn't be ministers. And so from an early age, I was empathizing with this and sort of a little bit in the middle of this fight where I found myself fighting and defending my mother's right to go to seminary. And I can't help but think there's a relationship between that moment and seeing what she went through, and both Hillary and Clinton in A Doll's House Part 2.
Fascinating. Do you know that your competition last night was the real Bill and Hillary doing a stage talk together at the Beacon Theater? How surreal is that?
I heard about that, yes. It is. It's really surreal, and I know that she's been going to some shows in the area, so it's funny to kind of know that she's around and there's this marquee, and yeah, it's really strange.
But in the play, which I saw last week, much different from the Beacon, I'm sure, there's a lot of Hillary and Bill arguing with each other. You portray a lot of anger in the relationship. And is it because, and Laura, you could take this from an actor's perspective, is it because people must imagine how angry Hillary has been at Bill over the years for the affairs and for having to cover for him and everything, and now they get to see a version of it acted out in a fictional play, which they would never get to see in real life?
Well, those things do come up. They talk about, you know, old things are dredged up in the show, and rightful anger comes out during those times. But the other arguments that they have is about the campaign. Not that it's, at deep down, it's still about their marriage, but Bill wants to take Hillary a certain way, and her campaign manager, Mark Penn, wants to go another way. And so she is having to choose between these two people who care about her very much, but are trying to force their will on her. And she's sort of at sea in the sense that she's feeling like she's losing her own instincts about how she should wage this war herself.
And I should say, the play has four characters: Hillary, Bill, Obama, and Hillary's 2008 campaign manager, Mark Penn. And Lucas, I'd say Bill Clinton, played by John Lithgow, does not come off well. Narcissistic and deceptive and condescending, I guess I'd say. What were you trying to show about Bill Clinton?
I mean, I don't know if I approached it in terms of trying to show something about him, but it felt like there was a reckoning that needed to happen that has been bubbling up, and to ignore it would be really, I think, pretty tone deaf. So I think it came out of that.
The meaning to the public of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaigns is so different now from what it was in 2008 when you wrote this play, or what it was in 2016 before Trump won. And I know it was staged during the campaign in Chicago. Have you rewritten one or more times to reflect the change in context? Because it's really so different.
Yeah, when the thought of even doing this play on Broadway came up, I told our producer, Scott Rudin, that I would want to entirely rewrite the play, not actually with respect to 2016 as much as it was 10 years ago that I first wrote the play. I think I'm a very different writer now. And so in this past summer, I started from page one and wrote the play again from memory. Mm. But also made a point of every time that I found myself winking at 2016 too much, I would step back away from that, because if it was obvious, I think it probably didn't want to be in the play.
Interesting. Laurie, as many of our listeners know, you've had an amazing career in television and on Broadway and in film. You've won Tonys the last 2 years for Doll's House Part Two and Three Tall Women. You've won three Emmys for your role on the original Roseanne, and you've had Oscar nominations. Do you like doing one more than another medium, or differently from one another?
Oh, for me, it's all about the theater.
It is?
Yes. That's my first love, and maybe because I started out in theater, but it's where I feel the most comfortable. I love the rehearsal process, and then I love still digging around every night, you know, 8 shows a week during the whole run. It's never, ever, it's an ever-evolving form to me. And I get very self-conscious of having a camera in my face, and so I feel much more freer on the stage.
It's very taxing, though, right? I mean, this play must be very strenuous to perform, constant, fast dialogue and with a lot of emotion. And it's short. It was only, I think, an hour and a quarter when I was there the other night. But it's intense. And to do that 8 times a week, what is that like?
It's mentally, you have to be very dexterous. And it's a little draining to focus for that long at the pitch that the play is set at. It's not physically taxing, but mentally it really is. But it's also such a rush to do. And for me, I don't really leave the stage, so it goes by in a flash for me.
People are wondering, I'm sure, so you were in the spotlight recently for the ill-fated Roseanne reboot with you as her liberal sister. It continues with you. I'm trying to frame a non-gossipy question about that, and I guess it's...
Good luck.
did the show aim to bridge an important cultural divide, and could something like that succeed in pop culture?
Oh, when we did the initial reboot? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I think it did. I think I don't think that the show is going to be centered on politics at all, but they didn't... It was so prevalent when we came back... That there, it was a topic that we couldn't ignore, and I think it was brilliant of the writers to put that fissure right in the middle of a tight-knit family and show what it could cause. But then ultimately, within that pilot episode, the sisters got down to what their real falling out had been about, and it wasn't really about who voted for who.
Lucas, the play has been shown in various places since 2008, as we said before. Have Bill or Hillary ever seen or said anything about it?
I don't think they've ever seen it, and I've sort of... I like to sort of be in a bubble and not know what the real people think. So, because in a way, the play's not about the real people. It's sort of these mythic reinterpretations of them. So I've been very careful to not confuse the two for myself.
How do you walk the line for yourself between fiction or documentary? Because a lot of what is depicted in the play is real. But when I went back and read up on that history, some of the events were slightly changed.
Yeah, I mean, and the play has a little prologue at the top, a speech at the top where Laurie comes out and talks to the audience about multiverses and says that, you know, just imagine this play set on a different planet Earth. It's really similar. But I took a couple of given circumstances, and then I just sort of felt my way through it and tried to imagine myself in their shoes.
Somebody asked me if you feel any obligation to alert the Clintons to the play in any way, since it's about them and they're still alive and public figures.
They do know about it. They do know about it. I just don't know what they think.
Laurie, what else you got coming up? You want to plug anything?
No, I'm looking forward to opening and settling into the run. Oh, and then the Connors is going to do another 13 episodes, I think.
Please thank Laurie Metcalf and Lucas Nate, the playwright of Hillary and Clinton, which officially opens next Thursday at the John Golden Theater on Broadway. Thank you so much for joining us at the Green Space. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Audience, thank you so much for coming out. And the Green Space Marathon continues. Events for free until 7 a.m.